and welcome to Flow with the Funk. My name is Michelle, aka Flow, aka your funky celebrant. This is a podcast aimed at anyone and everyone interested in love and ceremony, from the beginning of life to the end of life, and everything in between. Hello everybody, and welcome back to episode 3 of series 3 and our green journey. Today I'm joined by the delightful Florrie, and I'm going to let her introduce herself rather than me introduce her. You can find out all about who she is and what she's up to. Hi Florrie!
Hello! Hi everyone! So I'm Florrie from De Havilland Memories, and at De Havilland Memories we are stationery specialists, and we provide stationery, signage and calligraphy. This is mostly focused on weddings, and we also have a big, one of our main sort of points or goals in our business is to become as sustainable as possible, which, yes, has always been a sort of focus of my company, and it's nice to be able to chat about this now. So,
brilliant. Yes. Well, thank you for joining me. So, to take it all back to the beginning, when did you start in this business? Is it something that grew organically? Is it something you've always wanted to do?
So it was quite interesting. I was actually an engineer working testing satellites before they were launched, and I became ill basically, and I had a bit of time to really rethink what it was that I wanted to do. And it was during this time that I realized that it was very important for me to be able to set my own hours, and working for myself was something that I really felt strongly about. And having the main thing that hindered me with being an engineer was that it wasn't as creative as I'd hoped, and so I decided I was going to take up watercolor and calligraphy and see where it took me. So I continued working for a bit as an engineer whilst sort of nursing my company. I think I officially set it up in Germany when I was living there in 2021, yeah. But only had 2 customers until recently, because most of what I was doing was building websites or updating my website, because my first one wasn't very good. And then just trying to get some methods involved, get some sort of idea of how to work with people and how to actually use Photoshop and things like this, because yeah. I'd never really done any of that before either. So yes, it was certainly a bit of a stab in the dark, but I had a feeling that this was something that I needed to do. And I moved back to England in July last year, so July 2023, 2 weeks before my wedding, which probably wasn't very intelligent because it was incredibly stressful. But then in September of 2023, I set up my company in England and decided, right, this is the time I'm going to have a really good go of it. I feel like I know enough now about the, back end parts of business, how to organize my finances, how to organize customers, how to organize these things, that now I just need to put myself out there and do it.
Yeah.
And that's where I've been since.
Scary, isn't it? When you suddenly go from being employed and having that guaranteed paycheck and knowing exactly what you're doing and what you're going to be doing this time in a year's time, to suddenly, I'm in charge of it all myself.
Definitely. And I mean, at the moment, there is no chance that I've got a pension. That's but it's all to come. That's the next sort of step, is to get the next sort of lot of customers in and try and figure out then my future finances. Yeah. Now that I feel that I'm sort of up to date with current finances, so to say, I feel like we're on a good level for that now.
Oh, brilliant.
So it is all just crazy, isn't it? Just how to set up a company.
Yeah, I didn't have a clue. I learned it all on the job. I was a police officer for 30 years, and then all of a sudden, self-employed. And it's like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. But I haven't got arrested. I haven't got arrested for defrauding the tax office yet, so I think I'm on the right line. So that's quite cool.
You might know the right people, at least.
Oh, this is true.
Well, colleagues.
This is true. So Was it always the plan to set up in the UK, or were, you know, when you first obviously set up, you were in Germany? And kudos for having two customers to start off with. I mean, it took me a whole year to get one. But, you know, but was it always the plan to come back to the UK to, for business?
So actually, I never intended to stay in Germany for as long as I did. My now husband is German, and a lot of his family don't speak any English, because they're from small villages. And so I thought, well, the best way to learn German is to just immerse myself in the language, because I'd been taking courses and things throughout university, and it's just different. You know, you can take as many courses as you want, but I'm not a language person, so it was just easier to be forced into a situation where I had to speak it. And with jobs that we had, engineering jobs, in fairness, the last job that I had as an engineer was too good to refuse, sort of thing. I didn't even apply for it. It just sort of fell into my lap, and it was absolutely fantastic. Did me a lot of confidence, and we ended up staying there for 7.5 years. We were supposed to be there for two. So when I decided to go full time with my company, I took half a year and worked in a print shop to continue learning back end processes, which I thought was invaluable because, I mean, being a stationery, printing is a very big part of what I do. And so it was really good to be able to do that and sort of have the freedom. But I was very, very glad to be back in England because I missed all sorts of things, such as Tesco meal deals. It's crazy the things you miss that you never would have thought. And so coming back was just fantastic. And having my company here, we decided that I'd have a few months where I would just focus solely on my company, see if it was viable in England. And it's now almost 8 months later, and it seems to be working a lot better. Seems to be something I can do.
Brilliant, brilliant. So let's talk about the green journey within all this then. Did you set out from the outset to be as eco-friendly and as green as possible, or is that something that's evolved?
So I've always been environmentally conscious, so to say. I think that it's something that's always been on my mind, and I've always wanted to go with more environmentally friendly alternatives. So when I started up my companies in Germany, certain things were higher up on the list, and I didn't. A lot of what I've been doing up until recently had all been sort of me making swaps that I thought would make sense to be more green. So things like natural, for silk ribbons, for example, only using 100% silk, no synthetic products, naturally dyed, using, hand dyed, using natural pigments, things like this, so that we're not polluting the earth. And that's sort of actually where I started, was I found a really amazing supplier for this, and she sent me this sample pack, which was just the most beautiful thing. Being a stationer, I loved it. And then I was interested in natural dyeing anyway. Like, thinking about it, that's probably where it's all come from. I was interested in natural dyeing, and it was a bit of a hobby of mine. And so then when I found somebody who did that locally in Germany, and I'd always wanted to only really stick with local suppliers or small businesses, because my parents being small business owners, that was sort of that, but also the added benefit of reducing carbon footprint. And so it started with that. And then when I moved back to England, it was very much something that I wanted to be more in touch with, was becoming more sustainable, and sort of became a bit of a thing starting afresh, and then suddenly having a choice of suppliers again, because now I knew what I was doing. I didn't have any of those relationships. I could start up and really focus on these things. So making su paper suppliers, for example, meeting them and finding suppliers that align with my ethos. And so all of my paper that I use is either made not from wood pulp, so bamboo is one of them. Cotton rag I use a lot for letterpress printing, because that's really beautiful for it. And or the ones that are wood pulp, are unbleached, for example, so using fewer chemicals. And it's been really interesting finding other suppliers who have the same values as me. And it gives you a nicer connection almost. It's more personal. You can talk about these things and then you sort of click better and then you have a better relationship anyway. So yeah, that's sort of been a very long-winded answer to what you were asking.
No, but I love it when you find another supplier that is on the same journey as you, because immediately you're on the same wavelength. You're not going to get the funny looks. Think, what are you on about? Are you going to get, oh yeah, oh that's really good. Oh, that's the supplier I didn't know about, or all kind of thing. So I think it's brilliant to be a part of a group of people that are all thinking and moving in the same direction.
Definitely. And something which I found was actually quite interesting was that for most of the suppliers that I found here were, so I live in Kent and I was looking for suppliers just nearby and then I was going to go from there because, you know, small businesses reducing carbon footprint, it makes sense to start there instead of starting big and just sort of, you know, there's the whole of the UK to then explore and that got a bit scary. And just by narrowing my search down to local small businesses and then meeting them in person and saying, you know, oh, I'd like to use environmentally friendly such and such. And then the number of them who would just go, oh, wow, me too. Yeah, we pride ourselves in doing this. Here, let me show you this collection. Or, oh, we do this too. Here, look at such and such. And it was actually incredibly easy, I found, to find people that aligned with me when I started small and just local.
Oh, that's
I
amazing.
think when you get to the bigger companies, then they're less likely to sort of care as much. So, but a lot of small businesses do actually take that to heart.
Cool.
So,
So how did you come across the SWA?
well, this was whilst I was still in Germany, actually. So it was probably more than a year ago, and I saw it and was sort of thinking, oh, that sounds like something I could get involved in. But I know that it was, you could join it from abroad, but it was a bit more complicated. Not the joining, but I think there were extra fees and things involved. And I thought, well, planning to move back to England in half a year or so anyway, just wait until then. And so I sort of kept in touch with them. And then when I moved back, just sent an email. But I have a feeling it was from For Your Party. there was just some posts. I don't know how I came across her though. I think it must have been, no, I honestly have no idea how it popped up, but I saw that she said something about Sustainable Wedding Alliance, and I thought, okay, let's have a look. Sounds like something for me. So
No, Mercedes is everywhere.
she is.
She'd commented on a photographer who I know on his post, because he'd done something sustainable, and she commented on that, and then we started talking, and she told me about the alliance. So yeah, Mercedes, I think, is probably responsible for about 95% of the SWA's population,
Well,
which
good.
is
She's doing
brilliant.
fantastically well.
Yeah, which is brilliant, but it's just like, yeah, we can all blame her for falling in step as well. So where are you on your journey with the SWA?
So I'm in a place, so my main topic recently was getting my website out and about. So I've completely redone my website, rebranded, and that was my big sort of thing. And yes, now it's then working towards accreditation and working on my sustainability policy. So I need to upload it, but I've got the workbook type thing that I've printed off, and I'm just slowly working my way through that and trying to get that to a position where I can publish it. And yeah, working towards accreditation. So I'm
It's
very excited about that. Been
yeah,
going
I'm
through the courses.
I've got my call with Michelle on Thursday.
Oh, that's exciting.
It is, but it isn't. I shouldn't have done it on my birthday. But I thought, if I do it on my birthday, it means then if it's good news, I've got a double celebration. But if it's bad news, I've still got the single celebration to take the edge off the double, to take the edge off. I need to do some more work, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, I think I can't remember what it was called because I had mine a little while ago, but I do remember I was very nervous and I said this, and I was at one of the member meetups, just one of the online ones. And there was also a new person there who had the call. And she was saying that she was very nervous as well. And they were sort of saying, well, maybe that's giving off the wrong impression, because it's really more like a friendly chat.
It is.
Because at the end of the day, there's no right or wrong way to start out.
Yeah.
And so all she wants to do is be able to help guide you, not to be able to tell you that you're wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's the,
I think we all invest so much into it that we want to get it right from the outset.
Yeah,
and we're, you exactly. know, like you say, we're all going to get it wrong because A, that's life, and B, it's new territory for a lot of us. But yeah, I mean, my thinking has completely changed since I became a member of the FWA. My statement is on my website, but that's been revamped 4 times in the short time that it's been up, because I keep adding to it and then tweaking it and stuff like that. It's given me the impetus as well to actually reach out to a number of, I'm in the process of writing a blog about Essex and some suppliers. So I've reached out to all of the venues that I want to feature in this blog and actually asked them, what's your sustainability policy?
Yeah.
I've only had 2 responses so far. One is Epic, which I expected, and the other one hasn't done anything at all, which again, I kind of suspected that, but they now have details of the SWA and they went, we're going to look into this season.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, even if they haven't got anything in place now, it's hopefully directing people to say, you know, there is this organisation that can help you to achieve a certain level of sustainability, but also going to put in front of people that that's what they're looking for. And if you don't do it, they're not going to know. It's an interesting journey, and it's been quite interesting for me, whereas before I would never have asked anybody, what's your sustainability?
No.
But now I do.
Yeah, I feel that that's also quite an interesting one, because these sort of people, I haven't really had to ask many of my suppliers, because quite a few of my suppliers have brought it up proudly.
Yeah.
And I've really appreciated that. I don't know whether I've mentioned it before, and so they brought it up, or, you know, but I, especially with my paper and the new print shop that I'm working with, both of them proudly told me I didn't even have to ask them, what's your sustainability policy, or how are you with, you know, this, which I thought was really, really good.
Yeah. I think it's slightly different if, because you are creating a physical product.
Yeah.
A tangible physical product, whereas obviously
venues
and celebrants, you know, we're creating an experience rather than a physical product. So it's a different kind of conversation, I think, with some of our supply chains. But you're still part of the supply chain for my clients. It's just I would never actually use you personally.
Yeah.
But I can turn around to my clients and say, boom, here you go. This is your stationer, this is your, you know, your room decorator, this is your cake maker and all that kind of stuff, because these people are all following the same path. And I know I don't need to think about what your sustainability policy is, because you've either already written it, or you're writing it, or you know the work is being done. So I think it's a different kind of supply chain, and it's
definitely
been quite interesting doing that. Well, I don't know how far you are, but it's been quite interesting in doing that part of the work to say, what's your supply chain? Thinking, oh, I don't know.
Well, there were some questions which I'd never even thought about, and that's about your digital footprint and things like this. Yeah. And it makes sense that all of your data is stored somewhere on some server that's having to be powered and to try and clear that out. But that was something which I'd never even... That was quite mind-blowing, because I feel like, and this is a big part of why it's so good to be a part of something like the SWA, because it is a It's eye-opening because I feel like I'm quite switched on when it comes to environmental things, but you know, with the best will in the world, I'm still just an ordinary person who's just sort of trying to do my best. And but being part of a group that focuses on these things, they can point you out to these little nuances that you never would have thought about. Because you can, I mean, everyone knows a bit about cars and recycling and things like this. That one's quite obvious, but then these little things I just never would have even thought about. So it's, yeah, I'm really glad that I've joined, not just for the networking, because I've met some really lovely people through it.
But I think a big takeaway is from what you said as well a minute ago is don't be scared.
Yeah, don't be scared.
They're not here to trip you up. They're here
No.
to help and direct, and there's nothing to be scared of. And you know, we'll all get our accreditation in due course once we've done the work. But you know, for me, if I don't get it first time round, I know what tweaks I'll need to do, and I'll get it second time round. But fingers crossed, it's something that she says yay to on Thursday. We'll see.
Oh, she will.
Are you listening, Michelle?
Yeah,
Cool. So you're part way through working for your accreditation. What's next for you business wise then?
so I'm figuring out my marketing at the moment. That's my sort of main thing. I've got the website that I've always wanted. I've got the ideas of where I need to go. And now it's just trying to find a way to market myself in not just, you know, effectively, but also, yeah, I never even really considered sustainable marketing until I watched those videos, those tutorials. So yeah, it's always a journey, isn't it? But with a company, you're never finished. But
You're always learning something new. So marketing's f forward. So if anybody who's listening that is green and eco marketing, you know where Florrie is. So Florrie,
Yeah.
how do you get a hold of you? What's your website and what's your socials?
So my website is dehavilandmemories.com. So like my last name. And my socials is also De Havilland Memories. So quite nice and easy. And yeah, I'm always contactable either by phone or by email. I always reply within 24 hours or you know, a work day. And yeah, it's I'm always happy to chat as well, whether that's to new couples or create meaningful connections with other suppliers, like-minded suppliers.
So is your work above and beyond just I say just, I don't mean just, but is it above and beyond wedding stationery? Do you do event stationery and things like that?
Yep, so I do event stationery. I also take on calligraphy commissions, so I've been awarded Finest Calligrapher of 2024.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Very proud of that one. And hopefully next time we speak, so in a few, well, after my honeymoon, I'm having a meeting with the Guild of Master Craftsmen because I've sort of got through the first round with them, and hopefully I'll be a member of the Guild of Master Craftsmen soon for my calligraphy.
Oh, that is amazing.
So yes, also do a lot of calligraphy work, and that is really something I really enjoy. My letterpress and my calligraphy are my two sort of love childs type thing. They're the two things that they're both a labor of love, but the things I enjoy the most.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Well, I hope to see on all the socials that you've achieved that when you get back from honeymoon. That'd be amazing.
Thank you.
And I just look forward to continuing the journey with you as well, because let's say it's the path that we're both on. It's just like within the SWA, we can check up on each other anyway, but just on the wider socials as well, can't we? We can see what everybody's up to, and it's just nice being able to
Absolutely.
connect and redirect people to all these places. Do you only work in Kent? Or
I ship worldwide even. So anything that luckily with my job, it's tends to be quite small packages. The signage is slightly different, but I do ship that UK wide. And yeah, I'm always available for new commissions. I love meeting people, I love meeting new couples, I love meeting, you know.
Oh,
Yeah.
brilliant. So anybody UK or worldwide, if you're listening to this, you can get a hold of Florrie. All her details will be in all the blurb attached to the podcast as well. And I look forward to seeing you grow and, you know, watching that smile on your face get even bigger as you achieve even more and more over the next 12 months. So thank you so much for joining me today, Florrie. Have a wonderful honeymoon.
Thank you.
I'll see you on the other side.
Yes, well, thank you so much. It's been lovely. And thank you for having me on the podcast.
Isn't Mercedes just fabulous? Check out her links, give her a follow, and check out the SWA too. It'd be great to have you on board. See you soon.